Welcome back to Not Your Average Joe, the podcast that'll make anyone a little less average. I'm your host, Joe Franco, back at it again with another episode. And this week is going to be light and fun and a bit informative too, because we're going to go down a list of my favorite untranslatable words du jour, aka like in the moment, my favorite untranslatable words for many different languages that I've personally engaged with, that I use, that have changed a bit of how I see the world. Because as you probably already know, the language that you have access to creates possibilities that you might not have in other languages. For instance, if you have access to a certain expression that describes a feeling that you don't have access to in another language, maybe you won't even think of that feeling. But if there's a word to describe that feeling, you're gonna feel that feeling. Does that make sense? This might even be a new style of episode that I do. I have been making tiny videos like this on my Instagram. Here's a clip. There's a Portuguese word you need to know. Saudade. Welcome to my series Translated, where I attempt to translate the untranslatable. Longing spans borders, languages, and cultures because being human and the need to love are inseparable. Saudade is a yearning for that love, like having a piece of you floating somewhere out there, just out of grasp. Sometimes it's an attachment to the past or a love story with our memories that almost
normally being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Always ends in heartache, but beautifully so. It's an emotion that lives in limbo, straddling the lines of good and bad. Or as my grandma puts it, not all are lucky enough to feel saudade, because not everybody has loved that deeply to feel that sort of longing. And it comes from the Latin word solitas, meaning loneliness, because saudade has a funny way of only whispering in the stillness of the morning or the quiet of the night. And saudade, while expressing this void of love, a missing piece, is romantic, because feeling incomplete births hope to one day feel whole again. So next time you feel that hollow hole inside of your heart, you can now use saudade and rebrand your heartbreak into something beautiful. And this is actually part of my master's project for my filmmaking master's degree. I'm gonna make a TV show about untranslatable words. So these little bite-sized versions of my episodes will help me in my research to just dig into different words that add color to an otherwise monochromatic and monolinguistic existence. Oh, and before we get into today's episode, very exciting announcement. We are relaunching the 21-day language learning challenge, which means if you've already bought the challenge, then you're gonna get access to 3 live journaling calls at the end of each week, so you don't have to do anything. We will notify you via email. If you've never signed up for a challenge or haven't heard of the 21-day language challenge, not to worry, darling. These are 21 guided prompts, whether you're beginner or intermediate advanced. They're prompts and challenges. It's actually a really intricate challenge. So basically every day I'll give you an assignment, like a little scavenger hunt. You're gonna go engage with the materials online. You're gonna get input. And then I'm gonna challenge you to do a prompt to start expressing yourself in your target language. And there's a community aspect that's amazing and global and very motivational. This is perfect for somebody who doesn't even know where to begin on their language learning journey. And also for somebody who's feeling a little rusty in that language that they maybe studied a year or so ago or even longer. It's a great revamp. It's like that machine, the defibrillator. It's like clear. That's what the language challenge will do. Defibrillator. What? How do you say that thing? Speaks 7 languages, doesn't know how to speak English. So if you want to join the challenge, click in the show notes and I have linked a special Not Your Average Joe discount, honey. So I want to see you in the challenge sessions. I want to see you sharing on social media, because these 3 weeks are dedicated towards language learning growth. And if you're not interested in the challenge, that's okay. I'm going to teach you some languages right now. Kill the intro, sis.
You know she's not your average Joe, not your average Joe.
Naturally, I had to start this episode off with a Brazilian Portuguese word, aka Portuguese word. Anytime I say a Brazilian word, Portuguese people get so offended. Listen, I'm Brazilian. I understand we speak Portuguese. I say Brazilian because I am in contact with Brazilian Portuguese speakers. When you say, do you speak Brazilian? That is not accurate. But if I say this is a Brazilian word, it's because my context of the language comes from being Brazilian. Does that make sense? Am I in the wrong here? Anyways, to clarify so I don't get tons of DMs like I did last time when I said saudade is a Brazilian word, I'm gonna kick us off with a Brazilian Portuguese word that is very possibly also used in Portugal, but I can't tell you because I'm not Portuguese. Bagunça. Now, if you're Brazilian or have any Brazilians in your life, you might have already noticed we are very energetic people. Not everybody. Not everybody in Brazil is gonna be extroverted, but the culture is enriched with togetherness activities. Our music, our habits of cooking together, eating together, being together. Whenever you see a bunch of people in a room and they're all having this sprightly Brazilian fun, this energy that's just a melange, like a mix of different atmospheres, different conversations are happening at the same time. Everybody's laughing, playing, things are falling, people are spilling food. That is uma bagunça. So bagunça is translated to mess, like a hot mess. But bagunça to me, it's a word that captures that sweet feeling of togetherness where a lot of energies, a lot of different people in one place, it is messy, but that's the fun part. It's like a bagunça is actually a fun mess. And I miss it a lot. Like right now, I'm in Belgium and my family had a giant get together with like extended family who came in and I was getting pictures and I was like, oh, I want to be a part of the bagunça. My childhood was rich with bagunça. We had bagunça at every holiday. Every Friday night was like a big crazy sleepover. You can do this with your family, small family, with your friends, like putting blankets on the floor and making forts. That's uma bagunça. So now you know the concept, which means your homework assignment is to create the moments in your life where you can have bagunça in the best way. Of course, you can also use it for like, ew, it's messy in here. Caraca, tá uma bagunça aqui dentro. Which I also heard as a kid because my mom would yell at us because we were messy. So now you know. Also, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, I have also been posting the visuals of these episodes on YouTube. So you can always watch me in my varying backgrounds because I'm always traveling, but I'm still podcasting. And on the screen, I'm putting up the actual words and how it's spelled. So bagunça. The next word is Flemish, and that is Dutch, spoken in the north of Belgium. I've mentioned this before, I'm studying that language because my boyfriend is Belgian and Flemish specifically. Belgium is a funny place because there are three languages spoken here, mostly two. You have Dutch, which is actually Flemish in the north. Flemish is just like Dutch spoken in the Netherlands when you think about the grammar and like how words are spelled, but the actual pronunciation is a lot different. It's softer in many ways. Like they don't do the kh with the G's. Sorry, Dutch people. I love y'all too. But instead they do kh, like an airy G. And there are other accents. In fact, in Flanders, like in the northern part of Belgium, there are a million accents. And from what I've understood, the biggest joy in a Flemish person's dinner table is to talk about the different accents that are present in Flanders. So accents across the board here are a hot topic, but that's some context. I've been here many, many times because my boyfriend's here, and every time I come, I learn a new word and I learn a new whole vibe that comes with the word. The word I just learned, which I've also done a translated episode on, is gezellig. Gezellig is a word to describe cozy, but way elevated. So for instance, I went to dinner with my boyfriend and his parents, and his dad was like, oh, it was a gezellig night. I was like, what does that mean? And he was like, it's hard to explain. It's like cozy, atmospheric. The vibe was right. The conversations were flowing. There was not one drip of friction in the entire evening. It just felt good. And then I started looking into it because I was making the tiny translated video. And gezellig comes from Gezel, which was an apprentice learning, the group of people surrounding the master after they had finished their apprenticeship. And so then I deduced, which is like just my over interpretation of this, that gezellig is like being around people that you've known for a long time, that comfort that comes with camaraderie. And it's something that you can say for people and places. So the ideal situation would be to be in a place that's gezellig, like a cozy place, candles are lit, the mood is set, but being around people who give you that gezellig vibe as well. So those friends that you could just talk on and on for hours with, who never make you feel weird or awkward, if there's never like a weird dull moment. So the vibe, gezellig is all about the vibe. And I love a good vibe moment. I'm the vibe consultant. If you hang out with me in any space, I will light a candle, turn on the lamp, light the incense, play the music at a soft level so that everything is set for that gezellig ambiance. And I had never known that word until I came here. And that is why I love learning languages. because you put words to things that you've known were important. You just didn't know there was a word for it. Plus, vibe got played out.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The next word is from Arabic. I've dabbled in Arabic. I studied it for a few months and I dropped the ball because then I went to Greek and blah, blah, blah. This is not about my excuses, but this is about a word that I love hearing and using and just like it reshaped how I speak. So Arabic is interesting because when you learn the language, you're also being woven into the religion just because the two go hand in hand. In many cases, Muslims are Arabic speakers and Arabic speakers are Muslim. Not all the time, but in many cases. And so when you have a language that's closely knit with the religion, you're going to get religious sayings in the language that people like me who are not Muslim will have to learn how to use and have to understand because they're always used. Even if I'm not religious, these are words that are used. So one of the words that stuck out to me and started changing the way that I see things or like even make plans is inshallah, like inshallah, God willing. There's an expression for that in Portuguese, in English, God willing, se Deus quiser. In many languages, there's a God willing. But the way that inshallah is used all the time is the key here. It's like, even my friends, my best friends, I have a best friend who's Afghan and a best friend who's Egyptian. And anytime we make plans, like any single plan that we make, it's like, oh yeah, let's hang out on Friday, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah, I'll be there. So it's just baked in that our intention is there, but things are out of our control that is in God's hands that might happen and things might change. So it's like, I'm planning on being there Friday night. You're planning on being there, but it's really up to God. If God wants it, it will happen, inshallah. And that to me is just a humbling expression to use often because it's a reminder that it isn't all in your control. You could try your hardest to control everything, but sometimes stuff happens and that's okay too. But God's got it under control. And this is me without any obvious religion. I'm open to all religions. I've dabbled in many religions. I'm friends with people from various different religions. I respect religions and the theology that comes behind them. So me appreciating inshallah has nothing to do with me being religious, but more so as a human being, to be aware that you are not the center of the universe, that there are powers outside of you that are bigger than you. When we're in the Western society that is like very capitalistic and money hungry, we tend to think and believe that we can control everything. And when you start learning Arabic and you speak in a language that has this humility woven into it, it reminds you what's what. And for that, I am grateful. There's also mashallah, but I'll save that for another episode. The next word is from French. I miss speaking French when I don't speak it often. So the word is actually, I'm cheating a bit on this one. It's three words, but we're going to hyphenate it. Joie de vivre, which translates to joy of living. And you've probably heard of this because in the US, we say it all the time. It's like, oh, there's a certain joie de vivre. But what I love about it is that it's expressing this twinkle in someone's eye, this passion that is almost innocent, this simple joy of simply being alive. But it also means like this profound motivator that keeps you going, right? So for instance, I can say my joie de vivre is creating experiences with people, or chocolate, that's my joie de vivre. Like it could be big and silly all in one, and that is why I love it. But what's more important is that when you hear joie de vivre, you're aware that that's an important concept. Many people don't even ask themselves, what is my joy of living? Like what does make me happy to be alive? And when you have an expression, you're suddenly like, c'est quoi ma joie de vivre? What's my joy of my life? Je sais pas. Il faut réfléchir. It's like important to reflect. So a journal prompt that is inspired by this word / these three words. What is your joie de vivre right now? Do you have a current thing that is lighting your soul up on fire? The thing that's getting you out of bed? It could be a cup of coffee.
It could be your new relationship, or it could be the everyday nothings with your family and friends. There is no right answer, but the important thing is to understand that joie de vivre is very important. And it's a concept that I think if we used more, we might actually be happier as a general society. The next word is a German word. I don't speak German. I've taken a few lessons. It's a language that's on my list as soon as I start mastering Dutch, which, by the way, Dutch and German are like cousins, almost like Spanish and Portuguese. So me learning Dutch right now is a bit of a cheat code. It's like rosebud dollar sign. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If you know, you know. But the word is German, and I've found this word because I was doing some research on my translated series. I have covered this word. Fernweh. It means homesickness for a distant place, as in the opposite of homesick. So fern means far, and weh means pain or sore. And so it's really saying you're pained from the far, but it's a play on heimweh, homesickness, which is the pain of home, the pain of longing for home. We all know homesickness. You might have experienced it. There's also the wanderlust feeling. And I think fernweh, it's cooler than wanderlust. Wanderlust is interesting. Wanderlust to me in English translates to like you're craving, you're lusting after wandering around, which is similar to fernweh. But what I think is cool about fernweh is that it's you want to be anywhere but home. It's very specific. You want to be far away from your home. And for me, why it resonates is because I've always loved traveling and exploring and being out of my comfort zone. So to me, fernweh is not just being physically far away. It's like, how can you get into new experiences? How can you take yourself out of the ordinary? And I crave that. I crave that even if I'm in a routine. When I'm home in Connecticut, if I've had like 2 weeks of straight up routine, I'll make it a point to get dressed up, put on some lipstick, and take myself out to a new restaurant that I haven't gone to before by myself, because those are the moments where I'm longing for something new, for something out of my comfort zone. And I didn't need to get on a plane to do that. It's just as simple as taking yourself out of your normal routine and your home experience. So next time you feel like you wanna look up a flight or something, you can simplify it and get yourself experiencing something new that scratches your fernweh itch. Okay, the next one is really good. It's from Italian, and it's one of those cultural phenomena that I wish happened everywhere all over the world, but it makes it even more special because it is very Italian. And in some cases, different parts of Europe, I know that my in-laws here in Belgium, they do this often, and I love it. It's one of my favorite things that they do. But we're gonna take a trip to Italy, and we're gonna talk about the word aperitivo and apericena. So aperitivo, you might have heard of, but if you didn't, it's like, it's the thing that I love so much, mainly because it involves a drink or two. But basically, aperitivo is the time after lunch, before dinner. Keep in mind, Italians might have dinner later, like around 9 p.m., 10 p.m. It's like that Latin blood, Brazilians too. But in the middle of the afternoon, around 5 p.m., you start getting a little famished, a little peckish, hungry. And this dates back to around the 1700s. From the research I gathered, there was a philosophy that said herbs and alcohol would open up your appetite. So it would open up your taste buds, getting ready for the dinner feast. So from 5 to 8, many restaurants do this all over Italy, and again, in some parts of Europe and probably around the world as well. But they'll put out an assortment of snacks, goodies, like maybe nuts, something simple, pretzels, and you order a cocktail and you get the snacks. So you're getting a cocktail, you're having this moment with friends. It's almost like a happy hour, but way more interesting. And then there was an evolution of aperitivo, and it became apericena, where cena in Italian is dinner. And so you're now mixing aperitivo with more food. And this is where it got really interesting for me as a broke student when I was in my early 20s living in Rome. You could go to a restaurant and pay 10 euros and get access to a buffet of pizza, risotto, salads, all of these different things, and you get a cocktail. And so the theory is this was born, apericena was born from broke college students who couldn't afford aperitivo and dinner, and they smashed it into one and made it apericena. And so when you see apericena, you go. And it's also a moment of cultural significance because it's when the cities kind of stop working and everybody's out at restaurants. You can almost picture the scene, cobblestone streets, the bistro tables that are high top, everybody's hanging out, stylish Italians chain smoking, and you're there just happy to indulge in your 10-year-old buffet of risotto up to your ears. It's brilliant, and I love it, and I miss it. Sometimes at home, I like to make an aperitivo for myself just to feel like I'm in Italy when I'm not, but you know, those are just my little hacks. And the last word is from Greece. It's Greek, meraki, which I also did an episode on for my little tiny mini series on Instagram. Follow me at @Joe_Franco and let me know if there are words that you want me to cover. Meraki is Greek for that craftsmanship, that like special, you could say, the joie de vivre is infused in the artisan's craft, or it's a good vibe. It's a mix of Hazelich and joie de vivre, actually. And this is where it gets crazy when you're using other languages to define Greek. So yes, meraki is doing something with so much passion, so much care, that anybody that experiences that work feels that you've infused your all into it. It's pouring your heart into the material, into the work. You could do this with artisanship, you could do this with a dish, you could do this by organizing a restaurant. And this meraki is very closely tied to the Greek way of life of taking things slow, of doing things with intention, of being present. Meraki to me reminds me to slow down and be focused on what I'm doing, because if I'm putting crap into the world, people on the other end are gonna experience crap, and I can't have that. I need to do everything with a little bit more meraki, and that is an overall good way to live, because if you know you put your all into it, even if you don't succeed, entre guillemets, in quotation marks, you know you've done your all, and I think that allows you to sleep better at night, because you know that you've poured your soul into something. So with all of that, I hope that you have enjoyed this trip around the world. I actually really like that because it allows me to live in multiple languages in a short time. Please follow me on Instagram, like I said, @Joe_Franco, and comment your favorite word that I mentioned today in my last post. And if you'd like to sign up for the 21-Day Language Challenge relaunch, y'all already know what to do. Click in the show notes or the description box of this video, and all of the information will be there. I also have a free language learning starter kit if you haven't snagged that yet. It's really good. I've spent a lot of time making that really solid, so I'm linking that as well. And just keep learning and growing, because I think that is the key. The more I learn and the more I discover about these super dope languages and cultures and untranslatable words, the more I feel like I'm digging into life. And that is amazing, because that's my joie de vivre, because it's gezellig, because é uma bagunça, because I do it with meraki, because inshallah, one day I will have an aperi channel with all of you around the world. And that's how you do it, kids. Have an above average week because you deserve it. And I'll see you soon. Inshallah. Ci vediamo. Até a prossima. Bisous.
Hey, yo, come listen to my girl, man. What you doing? Shit.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.